Like all other scams, just hang up. A popular activity on Lake Decatur will be returning this year. Yesterday, the Decatur Park District approved a third season with the Standing Paddle Company. The company provides stand-up paddleboard rental, kayak rental, lessons, and private parties. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Boeing and the FAA under even more scrutiny. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. As the investigations ramp up following the two deadly crashes of Boeing 737 MAX 8 jets now grounded around the world.
The Justice Department sent out subpoenas to gather information on how this plane was even developed. So right now, investigators are focusing on the flight control software and the pilot training portion of this. At the same time, the FBI is joining the criminal investigation into the FAA's certification of the safety of those planes.
Fox's Aisha Hosni. There will also be a hearing next week at the Senate. It's Friday already in New Zealand, where a new gun ban's going into effect after last week's massacres in two Christchurch mosques. Fox's Simon Owen monitoring live from London.
Dave, New Zealand's Prime Minister saying the country's history changed forever last Friday, and now its gun laws will too. Jacinda Ardern announcing a ban on what she called military-style semi-automatic weapons, along with assault rifles and high-capacity magazines.
I absolutely believe there will be a common view amongst New Zealanders that the time for the mass and easy availability of these weapons must end.
She said anyone who already owns an affected weapon will be required to surrender it and will be compensated by the government. Dave?
Simon, prosecutors in the Netherlands say they plan to charge the suspect in the deadly shooting on a tram in Utrecht with murder or manslaughter with terrorist intent. President Trump keeps up the attacks on the late Senator John McCain, including saying he never got a thank you for agreeing not to show up at the funeral.
President Trump spent about 5 minutes during an event in Ohio talking about the late Senator John McCain.
So I have to be honest, I've never liked them much.
The president complained about the Arizona Republicans' vote on health care law repeal and his reported role in the controversial Russian dossier.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Several Republican senators say the president's gone too far. Lindsey Graham says he hurts himself more than he hurts McCain's legacy. This is Fox News.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck in no time, so you can haul gravel, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. And now get a 1 Series for just $99 a month at your nearest participating John Deere dealer. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Search John Deere 1 Series for more. 0% annual percentage rate. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. But not with ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology actively invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you. The needle in the haystack.
Try ZipRecruiter now for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Forecasters are warning of possible historic flooding in the south this spring, as many areas of the Midwest remain underwater from flooding that's killed at least three people.
They're in it together. It's one big family. Everyone's watching out for everyone.
People in 14 states dealing with floods. Hardest hit Iowa, where 41 of its 99 counties are declaring disasters, and in Nebraska.
The flooding is just devastating.
Governor Pete Ricketts, 75% of the state falls under a disaster declaration.
We've hit record crests on the Platte, the Loop, the Elkhorn, the Missouri.
500 miles of Nebraska roads are closed, and farmers estimate a loss topping $1 billion. Forecasters also expect flooding across the Midwest to last into next week. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Mississippi's governor will sign a new law today banning most abortions once a fetal heartbeat's detected. Legal challenges are coming. A lot of people will be watching a lot of basketball today. 16 college games as the NCAA tournament ramps up now that the bracket's set with the last two play-in games.
Arizona State clears the first four hurdle this year.
Jort hanging near the rim. He lays it home and spills to the floor.
Call courtesy of the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Lugens Dort with the lay-in there, part of a team-high 21 points for him, as Arizona State jumps out early and hangs on for the 74-65 win over St. John's. That win clinching the 11th seed in the West region of the bracket for the Sun Devils. They'll take on 6th seed Buffalo on Friday. This as North Dakota State is also advancing out of Dayton, defeating North Carolina Central 78-74. The Bison earned the 16th seed in the East and now await top seed overall Duke. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
There's another baseball game in Japan. Seattle leads Oakland 4-2 in the seventh inning, the day after the Mariners beat the A's to start the season. There are also reports star Japanese major leaguer, potential Hall of Famer Ichiro Suzuki will retire after today's game with the Mariners in Tokyo. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
Hi, this is Brady Streckler from the Brass Horn. If you know me, you know that I love to wear men's and a main dress shirts. Thanks to the breathable microfiber stretch material in these American-made shirts, you'll never be more comfortable heading into work or out to dinner. Non-iron and machine washable, these shirts are super easy to take care of and always ready to wear. Come in today to try on a men's and a main dress shirt at the Brass Horn, located on Prairie Street in the heart of downtown Decatur, where you'll always find the right fit.
Taking a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast, we've got cloudy skies this morning. Turning to sunny skies, highs are going to be around 48 degrees today. Then tomorrow, expect some sunshine, highs around 50. And for your Saturday, sunny, highs near 52. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 38 degrees.
Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, March 21st edition of Byers & Company. We got the City Hall insider, former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Decatur Tribune, Paul Osborne. We'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Countdown to opening day. It's all now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on a Thursday, and Thursdays at 7 mean one thing. The City Hall insider, Paul Osborne, publisher of the Tribune, twice elected mayor of Decatur. He is in studios. All right, we are a couple of weeks away from the quietest election I've ever witnessed in my entire life. We have all the candidates coming in. A lot of them were at the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Saturday. And there's commercials running, and I know there's a few letters to the editor in the Tribune this morning. I still maintain this is a quiet race.
Yeah, it is. And I think when you consider the impact of those candidates, could they be elected or reelected, it's kind of strange that it is. And there's some quality candidates running, too. It's not like a field of...
Now, thankfully, it's not a really ugly, contentious thing. I'm not asking for that. I just sort of feel like... I can't feel the pulse of the interest in the community.
Yeah, and I've talked a little bit about this before we went on the air and a little bit last week, too, that I just never seen letters to the editor and that kind of thing so quiet. Usually those start weeks before the election, and we had a couple in for a school board candidate this week, and I think we have one for next week. And usually we have to run extra pages to handle all the letters. And
just
Zippo.
I think part of that, and although it certainly isn't universal because the candidate you're talking about is a fairly young candidate, you wonder about demographics and how they communicate and the way things change. Let's go to Saturday, though, because we talked about the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk a little bit about what we can learn about the candidates from the parade. And this, by the way, has nothing to do with how they would govern, or it's just interesting to see what the tactics are as far as showing up for a parade. We talked about it before last Thursday. We were both down there Saturday. What did you think? I think the hands down winner is Rodney Walker for city council.
Yeah, I think he was half the parade.
I mean, he had to have 100 people there.
Yeah, and they had kids dribbling basketballs, and I think I mentioned in the column those little miniature basketballs with his message, for city council. And that was really pretty clever. Usually he'd throw candy and everything else.
Courtney Carson was down there with him, and this is how big a crowd they had. They had a bullhorn just to get everybody together. That's how big.
Yeah. So, you don't hear that too often.
No. So that's, to me, like, as far as just parade participation, hands down winner. Now, there were other candidates that were there as well. The mayor was there, more understated. A few people there and a truck. Councilman Horn was right behind us in the parade, and it was him and his partner, and I believe that was it. And they kept trying to sort of like get into our portion of the parade. I don't know if they were just walking too fast, but it's like, wait. The band's with us, not Councilman Horn.
I think they were.
Separate a little, okay?
A lot of the friends are part of Milliken. Some of them are Milliken faculty or part of.
Yeah, but that's.
And I think they were familiar.
He wasn't
going
to co-op our float.
No,
you go back over there with your Horn for Mayor sign. So he was there. I saw Marty Watkins had some folks.
Yeah,
with
really
him.
Bright green. I mean, those were like almost neon T-shirts.
They really were.
Yeah.
Who else did you see at the parade?
Saw Shalith.
Yeah. Saw Shalith had a nice, nice group of people there.
Yeah, she was very enthusiastic and really pumped up for it. And you know, as you traveled around, a couple of the school board members or the candidates, they were there and they were had their signs. And
we have this is interesting. I do not know this Lyra Evans. She's on with us tomorrow morning.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
She is a former teacher, substitute teacher, and I thought she had maybe the most interesting choice in all of the parade entries, in that she chose Alita Graham to drive her around in the parade. And as we remember last...
For school board, and she's running for school board.
Yes.
Yeah.
The last school board race, the incumbents, Alita Graham and B.A. Butts, didn't get enough votes between the two of them if they were only one person to get elected because of the contentious behavior. That's an interesting tactic.
Yeah, it apparently almost seems like an endorsement of this particular candidate.
From what I understand, that's kind of the case. But, I mean, I'm just not sure. I mean,
I don't think I would have done that.
Well, first of all, how many people on the parade not even know that? Maybe it's too inside baseball. I thought that was an interesting choice, though.
Yeah, in city council, John Phillips was there.
I didn't see John at the parade. He was on with us earlier this week.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, he said he was there as well, yeah.
Yeah, and he was, I thought he had a very good attitude about the race itself. He said, I don't have a lot of money, but he said, there are really some fine candidates running. He said, I wish we would have maybe one more debate, maybe at the Civic Center or at the library or something. He felt maybe they could need more exposure, but... There have been really several outings here.
These debates, I don't know beyond their own supporters. I mean, are there any undecided people showing up at these kind of things anymore?
I don't think so.
Not enough to sway an election.
There may be a few.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to have all of the. In fact, they've had so many now that the last couple, I didn't even get any notification they were having them. I think like Tuesday night, and I think there's another one. I think you're right. I'm not sure how much impact overall that has. Maybe the reporting of the debate has some impact, but this, to me, really comes down to people that you know and people that you trust and people that you think will do a good job representing you. Those that are on the council or ones that are in office now, if you feel they're doing a pretty good job, that's why you're going to vote for them. I don't see a major issue jumping out in the city council race or even the mayoral race. A major issue to say get people excited and say, yeah, that's my person.
Is there a sorority and a fraternity hosting something tomorrow over by Milliken?
I saw that.
I don't even know what this is.
I don't either, but they've invited. They didn't list how many candidates they had showing up, but I don't know if all will. But these have kind of been popping up here the last week or two.
Yeah.
And I
applaud everybody. I'm not making fun. I think it's important. I just don't know in 2019 that you're reaching a lot of undecided people at these things.
Yeah, when you consider that the voter turnout, at least the way it appears, is not going to be gigantic. And it's not a presidential election or something like that where there's a lot of encouragement, picking up people, taking them to the polls. And I think I haven't checked with Josh Tanner here in the last few days, but the
early voting was pretty weak.
Yeah, and that to me is an indication probably of a lack of enthusiasm overall. But this is a hard race to read. It really is. And I think part of it is because there's not screaming and yelling like in some of the campaigns, everyone has acted with, an air of decorum in presenting their case and telling people why. You should vote for them, But it's the downside of that is if there's not any controversy and you don't really want controversy, is there's not a lot of interest then.
Yeah.
People kind of choose up sides sometimes on controversy.
It's interesting to see the strategy. And I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know what gets someone elected in 2019. You know, there used to be an old school way of doing it. You know, the Larry Klugmans of the world, you know, you would map out here's your street signs, your yard signs, you knock on doors, you make phone calls, you go to parades, you do some direct mail pieces, you run some radio ads. I mean, there was a way to do that. And today, it's such a fractured communication field, right? I mean, people are everywhere, and you try to be everywhere, but they're raising less money than they ever have. And I don't know if that's a bad thing, but I hear candidates all the time going, well, I don't have any money to get my message out. It's like, well, that used to be part of the gig, right? If you're going to run for mayor, you're going to run for city council, you're going to run school board, you went out and you raised money to get your message out there.
Yeah, I think you measure your support, too, even before you declare
if people
candidacy.
Are willing to back you up, yeah.
Yeah, and I can only, relate to the, to what I did. You know, I talked to you and I talked to several community leaders before I ever even jumped in the race and said, this is what I'm thinking about doing. And I think unless you do that, you don't know what kind of support. You'll have a few friends say, yeah, we need you in there. But it goes beyond that.
Yeah.
You've got to have a foundation of support. You have to know if people are willing to support you or think about it or come across with some campaign donations.
Yeah.
And I just really in checking the Illinois Board of Elections, their website, I don't see a lot of contributions coming into these like they used to.
No, there's some, and some candidates clearly have, but most haven't. The interesting thing to me is that Bill Faber doesn't do any of this. He doesn't show up at anything. He doesn't go to the parade. He doesn't advertise. I'm assuming he shows up at these debates. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah. What's the deal with that?
I don't know.
He won't come in here?
Yeah. Well, I think
that is he the only candidate that has refused to come in?
I mean, I just didn't hear from him. He didn't refuse. He didn't say no.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, every other candidate, right?
Yes. I've heard from every other candidate. I did not hear from him at all.
Yeah. I think someone told me at the last debate that he was, had a family vacation plan. So he was
2 weeks before an election.
Yeah. And I don't think he was at the council meeting either, this week. But I don't know. I think if I was an incumbent on council, I may have Lisa and may have Bill Faber, the field that you have, I don't think I'd be taking anything for granted. I know Lisa isn't. Lisa is running harder this time, I think.
I heard the ad during the last half hour. I think it was very smart. She got Jerry Dawson to do sort of a testimonial for her, and I think Jerry's well-liked in this community. I thought that was a pretty smart advertising move.
Yeah, he's a well-known name on council for, 8 years? And, he was a solid member of the city council. And when you look at people like that supporting you and getting the message out, there are people who will vote for Lisa because of Lisa, but there are also some added votes there when you have someone that people respect say, she's getting my vote.
Yeah, and I thought Jerry was liked across the board, right? It wasn't really seen as partisan. I saw Republicans, Democrats, people of all stripes thought Jerry was a solid council member.
Yeah, and I think when he was on council, he was pretty nonpartisan, and I think even the Democratic Party recognized the fact that you can't count on him. If he feels something isn't right for the community, don't tell him to vote for it because politically he's a Democrat. I saw that, and I admired that and still do in Jerry, that someone who's able to look at the community as a whole and represent everyone and make those decisions. So I think an endorsement by Jerry Dawson is an important endorsement. And I think those are the kinds of things that candidates need, incumbents need. And I think, Lisa Gregory isn't taking this for granted because an incumbent has an advantage because you've been on there. And I think during good times, an incumbent is a little safer than in controversial times when maybe roads need fixing and that kind of thing, and people are looking for someone else. But
she still have, she's done a great job. I don't know. I mean, I get that Councilman Faber isn't going to come in and do this show. That's been his history. I understand it. It just doesn't seem like he's doing anything.
Yeah, I think I'm surprised that Bill is as committed as he seems to be to public service and that he knew there'd be debates and that kind of thing. And I think the last time that there was something like this, that he had a family vacation planned, I think you kind of, if you're surfing, you kind of plan that somewhere around.
Well, it's not like you don't know when the election date is. All right, Lyra Evans will be with us tomorrow morning. And that is, what, at 8:30? She's running for school board. You know, maybe she thinks, you know, Alita's I'm confused by the strategy, but we'll get her thoughts on that tomorrow. On Monday, we have Shalith Hansbrough in with us. She's running for city council. And then Regan Lewis, who is running for school board. On Tuesday of next week, David Horn will be in the studios, Councilman Horn, who is running for mayor. On Wednesday, Jacob Jenkins, the other candidate of the three for mayor, will be in studios. I believe that is it. And on Thursday, Siobhan Francis for city council. On Friday, we have Julie Moore Wolf. And then I think that's about it.
I only went until the 29th.
Okay.
Give us a breather on the 1st.
And if you go to nowdecatur.com, it's in the regular news feed, but we've assembled all those podcasts on one page, right? So if you want to go listen to any of the candidates and their thoughts on things, you can just go to the one election page.
Like I'll have Chris Harrison and Kristen White.
They're going to be here with us next hour.
So I'll have one of them, but then you'll also be able to find that in that interview page where all of them are listed.
So that way you don't have to go back and sift through everything. And yeah, get a chance. I mean, we offer people a full half hour to come in here and talk about what they want to talk about. I thought it was a pretty good interview with John Phillips the other week. I mean, I'm not sure. When I see a guy like John, and I asked him, because I'm not sure that I can remember anybody like a son and a father running for. Do you remember?
No.
Is it running the family? You know, I mean, that's
not offhand.
But. Yeah, I can't think of. So maybe the first, you know, like a father runs for mayor last time, he runs for council. He did tell me in the interview that he was going to run for council last time, but when his dad decided to run, he didn't do it because he didn't want to confuse things.
When his dad ran for mayor.
But when his dad ran for mayor. But he himself was going to run for council last time, but his dad decided to run for mayor, and so he didn't do that because he didn't want the two names out there.
Yeah, that'd been something, wouldn't it?
John Phillips and John Phillips. That would be confusing.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it would. But seems like an awfully nice person, too, when you talk to him. And I think it probably speaks well in one sense of the word, where you have a father and son interested in the community.
Sure.
And both willing to step up and say, you know, I want your vote.
Yeah. So anyway, I think, if I'm not mistaken, then we have booked all of the candidates for school board, for city council, from the mayoral race, except for Bill Faber.
Yes, and Rodney Walker.
We're still trying to coordinate Rodney Walker. That's not a refusal thing. It's just he travels back and forth. We're trying to figure out.
Not a refusal at all. No,
We're just still trying to coordinate the time, right?
Yeah.
All right. In fact, I just talked to Rodney on Saturday at the parade, and he was very enthusiastic. And like I said, he had a huge turnout.
Yeah. He's very, very likable. He is. You meet him, he's a very likable person. I think it's part of campaigning and certainly what he's done in the community for the young people of the community, and he's a coach. I mean, you know, Rodney Walker is a candidate. He's extremely well-known, has great name recognition, has a great athletic past.
A hard-working guy, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and he's done a lot of good. So he's going to be a tough, he's going to be a tough campaigner right up until the end. And we've got some strong candidates this time around, and I think the incumbents recognize that. At least Lisa recognizes
that. All right, can I ask, Lindsay, without giving away any sort of state secrets here, we had Marty Watkins in with us, and Marty seems like a real likable guy, too.
He does.
But he said something I thought at the time I didn't think that much about it. It was sort of just like a remark about a remark, and he said something about maybe there were too many African-American candidates in the race.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to him, Marty, that's progress.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, that stirred up some controversy out there. Just
mostly on his end that
you got some feedback yesterday.
Yes, candidates in the African American community were upset with what he said. Naturally, I mean that would make sense.
Well, I mean, when he said it, I thought it was a little odd. I didn't go, oh, that's a controversy. But I don't know if he meant like just strategy wise. There's too many African Americans on the ticket. I'm not sure what he meant. I don't really know. I just sort of thought, okay, that's odd. I would say that's probably progress. You know, more and more people feeling included in the system and running and doing that. I don't know if you heard that or if that.
Yeah, he told me that when I talked to him, and because I made the statement and just chatting, we couldn't sit down and chat at the Tribune, and I made the statement that it's really a diverse field this time, a lot of African Americans, and his reaction was about what you said to me was, you know, like maybe there's too many of us that people will have a hard time, deciding. Voting for minorities instead of voting for all of them, maybe voting for one or something. But he was uncomfortable, I think. I detected him being a little uncomfortable with being one of several.
I don't get that.
I don't either.
Worst case scenario, you're suggesting to me that I think you all look alike. That sort of thing, which is clearly, you know, inappropriate. I don't know that he meant that, but to me, I want everyone that wants to run to run. I'm not going to make my decisions to vote for somebody or endorse somebody because they're white or black or anything else.
But I mean, your elected body should also reflect your community, too.
I think it's progress when people feel that they're empowered to seek office. I don't think there's any downside to that.
Well, I didn't interpret his remarks as saying, you know, people are going to think all black people look alike.
But you're all running as individuals. No one's ever said to me there's too many white people running.
Yeah. I guess I took it from the standpoint he felt that maybe representing certain aspects or issues in the community it was much more difficult when you had several others that maybe kind of cited. I don't know, but he did make that statement.
Yeah, it was at the time we were running out. I mean, it was like towards the end of the interview, and I thought, okay, that's an odd statement, but I didn't really beyond that put that much thought into it. And so I don't know whether that's. I mean, listen, people are people. You're running for office. You got to run on ideas at the end of the day. I don't care what color you are, male, female, none of that really matters. You got to resonate with voters and tell them why they'll be better off voting for you.
Well, that's exactly right. You don't vote for someone because they're black or female or white, male. You vote because they're the best person for the job.
And I think we got some great choices. I think this is a heck of a field of candidates.
It is. Yeah. You know, I go back to when the only candidates were white guys.
Yeah.
Not even women.
No,
not even women.
Listen, I love the fact that the
most diverse field we've ever had.
Everybody feels empowered to step up and have their ideas heard. And to be a part of the dialogue.
Says a lot about this community.
I agree completely. All right, here's Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast. You want to do that again?
Yeah,
here's Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today, starting off with some cloudy skies that will be clearing up. We'll have partly sunny skies later today, highs around 48 degrees. Tonight, clear and lows around 33. Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 50. And for your Saturday, sunny, highs near 52. It's 38 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Hi, this is Brady Streckler from the Brass Horn. If you know me, you know that I love to wear men's and a main dress shirt. Thanks to the breathable microfiber stretch material in these American-made shirts, you'll never be more comfortable heading into work or out to dinner. Non-iron and machine washable, these shirts are super easy to take care of and always ready to wear. Come in today to try on a men's and a main dress shirt at the Brass Horn, located on Prairie Street in the heart of downtown Decatur, where you'll always find the right fit.
The Decanter Fine Wines and Spirits offers a wide selection of both wine and spirits to suit all tastes. Weekly wine tastings from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Friday and 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday.
The March Wines of the Month are a 2017 Indaba Sauvignon Blanc and a 2017 Indaba Mosaic, both from South Africa.
We offer excellent service and expertise on wine pairings that is unmatched by the competition. Go to thedecanterfinewines.com for more information. The Decanter, excellence and expertise. 215 North Main Street, downtown Decatur.
Hi, I'm Tom Brinkotter, and I sell homes for a living. You might say, I sell Decatur for a living. And what a difference a few years has made. Decatur is in a renaissance. Just look at downtown. It's a business community reborn. Restaurants and shops are thriving, and that helps to increase property values in the city as a whole.
But neighborhood revitalization is more than just tearing down homes. It's about building up our community as a whole. This is Reverend Courtney Carson. I'm proud of the work we're doing to make Decatur a better place for all of our people. Partnering with Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we're getting the job done. I hope you'll vote for her on April 2nd.
I know I will. Decatur is moving in the right direction. We need to keep the progress going. Join Reverend Carson and I and vote to reelect Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
We most certainly thank God for Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. Decatur family, stay blessed and productive, and let's get out and vote April 2nd for our Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
This message paid for by Friends of Julie Moore Wolf.
Quick, turn up the sound.
With the Now Decatur app, you can listen to the most popular Byers & Company podcasts. Sponsored by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry. Full hourly podcasts are available on demand. Plus, exclusive digital content from Byers & Company. Only available through our podcast. Brought to you by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. Download the Now Decatur app today and enjoy the latest Byers & Company podcast.
I love it.
Love it.
It's brilliant.
Back.
Back here on a Thursday. On the other side of stories and news, we'll visit with Mark Topper and Topper on Sports. We'll get into the Decatur celebration with Paul Osborne, City Hall insider, and a big fan of that event and supporter over the years. We've got a lot to get to here today, including the countdown to opening day with Heinkel still straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.
This is Shiler with your stories now. St. Teresa High School is mourning the death of the school's theology teacher and minister after she was killed in a crash on Route 36 in Douglas County Road on Wednesday morning. 66-year-old Joan Beeble was honored last night during a candlelight vigil. Classes dismissed early yesterday for St. Teresa, but classes are in session today, but grief counselors will be on hand for students. You might soon be the target of yet another telephone impersonation scam. The Social Security Office is warning of a new scam where calls claim that your Social Security number or benefits are at risk if you don't provide them personal information. The most deceptive part of the scam is that the calls will appear on your caller ID as coming from Social Security Customer Service. The office says if you receive a call, you can always get the caller's information, hang up, and contact the official number if you are expecting a call from the SSA. Otherwise, like all other scams, just hang up. A popular activity on Lake Decatur will be returning this year. Yesterday, the Decatur Park District approved a third season with the Standing Paddle Company. The company provides stand-up paddleboard rental, kayak rental, lessons, and private parties. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There is new gun control in New Zealand in response to a mass shooting at two mosques last Friday. 50 people died.
New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announcing a ban on what she called military-style semi-automatic weapons and that a registry of firearms will follow.
It's in the national interest and it's about safety.
The Prime Minister saying she's confident her plan has widespread support.
Fox's Simon Owen. A woman in Arizona named Michelle Hobson is in jail accused of abusing seven adopted children that she forced to perform in YouTube videos with millions of views.
Her biological sons were arrested for failing to report the abuse. Her biological daughter is the one who tipped off police about it. When law enforcement got to her house, six kids were malnourished. One was in a closet. They would allegedly suffer abuse by being pepper sprayed, held underwater, forced to hold their hands over their head while standing, pinched to the point of bleeding.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. This is Fox News.
Behind every great movement, there's a bright idea. Someone has a great idea. They tell others and it grows. The bright idea behind our community bank is that we keep the money working in the local area where it can help other local businesses and families grow. Scott State Bank. Together we grow. Member FDIC. Customer focused, community driven, committed to you since 1887.
Hello, this is Mike King from Merryman Herbs. We are open daily and serving the Decatur area for over 40 years. We've had the privilege of helping our customers get healthy and learn about the benefits natural products and supplements have to offer. As a local business owner, I know the importance local dollars play in helping your community and family-owned businesses like ours. For every $100 spent, 68 of those dollars go back into our community. This year, Merryman Herbs and New Op Media encourage you to visit the businesses owned by your friends and neighbors like Merryman Herbs. Shop local, buy local, and enjoy the savings and value when you shop at Merryman Herbs.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Starting off cloudy this morning, that will become mostly sunny. Highs around 48 degrees today. Then for tonight, you can expect some cloudy skies. Those around 38 for your Friday. Expect sunshine. Highs around 50 degrees. Saturday, partly sunny skies and highs around 52. Right now, it is 38 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Topper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
All right, we're back here on a Thursday. Time now for Mark Topper and Topper on Sports. All right, today's the official day. The NCAA tournament is underway.
Yeah, exactly right. I would guess national workplace productivity falls off a tick or two today, as the first full day of the NCAA tournament opens with 16 games televised on four networks, beginning with the opening tip at 11:15 this morning and running virtually nonstop until the final game of the evening wraps up at about 11 o'clock tonight. It's a 16-game college basketball marathon. And while some people will, you know, watch on various devices while pretending to work, I think that some are more honest and simply take the day off, bracket in hand, in one hand, remote in the other, and bounce from game to game to game as all of this unfolds. There's just always some interesting storylines in the tournament, and the selection committee has never been bashful about, you know, setting some of them up, even if they deny that that's the case. I would say Exhibit A is the very first game today, Minnesota against Louisville, Minnesota coached by Richard Pitino. He will be playing Louisville, the school that fired his father, Rick Pitino, a couple of years ago. Rick Pitino was involved in multiple scandals and is currently suing Louisville for $40 million. It would be a really kind of cool, if not awkward, curiosity if Rick Pitino was at the game today rooting for Minnesota. But he took a coaching job in Greece and has a game today in Athens, so no such drama in Des Moines, where the NCAA tournament, where this one will be played. And then at 1:45 this afternoon, Bradley plays Michigan State, also in Des Moines. Bradley, the only team in the tournament from the state of Illinois. They're an 18.5-point underdog, and they made news for all the wrong reasons this week when they restricted media access to the Peoria Journal-Star's beat writer and told him that he doesn't do enough to promote their brand. And so they incurred the wrath of journalists all over the country who had a little bit of fun with that. I'd say it's the game at 3:30 today that will probably get the most national attention, and that is Marquette against Murray State. The game features two of the most explosive guards in the country in Marquette's Marcus Howard and Murray State's Ja Morant. I don't think they will guard each other, so I don't think it's going to be, you know, me against you. But here are two players, either of whom could go off for 30 or 40. Howard scored, I think, 52 or 3 in a game this season. That could be, you know, a real special kind of a shootout. 3:30 tip for that one. And when we come back, Brian, we'll talk a little bit more about maybe – who the experts kind of are picking in this thing and why, and the team that I have a tendency to dismiss too easily. As I look at my bracket, I always second-guess myself. We'll talk about that team also.
All right, on the other side of the break with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports.
Got it.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, more from the NCAA tournament.
Well, there are college basketball experts, genuine experts, who have watched games religiously since November. I do not count myself as one of them. I'm not one of those guys that stays up late so I can get a glimpse of Montana. And then there are very casual fans who maybe haven't watched an entire game start to finish all season, and all of them are entitled to an opinion during March Madness. I think that's what makes it fun, and those opinions are usually expressed on the stair-step lines of a bracket sheet. ESPN rounded up 29 of their so-called college basketball experts and asked them who will survive in each of the four regions and which team will be crowned the national champion on April the 8th. And 15 of those 29 pick Duke to be the national champions. 5 take Gonzaga, 4 like Virginia, 3 pick North Carolina, and 1 each for Kentucky and Michigan State. And in reviewing my own bracket and looking for flaws, and I find a lot of them, I pause when I consider the number one seed in the West region, and that would be Gonzaga. I tend to dismiss them almost automatically, certainly too easily, in part because I always feel they will be underprepared by playing in the West Coast Conference, that their schedule is just not as rigid as those that play in the SEC or the Big Ten or the ACC, and in part because they're always good, but they're never quite good enough. Mark Few, their coach, is really good, and he did get them to the national championship game recently. And this year's team, you know, many people think might be his best. They're 30-3. They lost to Tennessee, which is a 2-seed, a really good team. They lost to North Carolina, which is a 1-seed, a really good team. And they lost in their conference tournament to St. Mary's, and I don't even count that because I think when teams are really good and they have their eyes on something like a national championship, they often overlook what's going to happen in their conference tournament because they know people are never going to judge them by that anyhow. And so I guess I think about the game that they played against Illinois, because they played Illinois in Maui, and that was a 2-point game with 30 seconds to go, and I kind of count Gonzaga down for that one a little bit. They will play their first game tonight at 6:30 against Fairleigh Dickinson. I picked them to lose in the second round to Syracuse. That was before I did when I did my bracket. That was before Syracuse suspended their point guard, and so that pick will probably be wrong. But I noticed a number of their people, the ESPN expert people, five of them are picking Gonzaga to win it all, and so I would probably pay a little more attention to them than to me. Sport Talk tonight from 5 to 7. Tim Kaine and I will be in the studio. We're going to obviously be keeping one eye on the tournament and see what develops there. We'll talk about some of the developments during the day. We've got baseball season beginning in earnest a week from today. And we've got Illinois spring football starting Tuesday. We've got some things going on in Illinois basketball in terms of recruiting. So we've got a lot to talk about. 5 to 7, you can join us on WSOY.
All right, have a great show. We will check you out at 5 o'clock. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. City Hall insider Paul Osborne. We're going to talk about delivery of the Tribune. I was reading your column this morning. And also your thoughts on the Decatur celebration when we get back on the other side of the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Traveling for business? Stretch the time you have at home by hopping on a fast flight from Decatur Regional Airport to St. Louis, starting at just $29 each way. Or fly to Chicago with fares starting at just $59 each way. Cape Air will have you there in an hour so you can skip the drive and arrive at your meeting refreshed. Or make easy connections through St. Louis Lambert International or Chicago O'Hare to wherever you need to go. Enjoy free parking and hassle-free travel when you fly out of Decatur. Book at capeair.com or call 1-800-CAPE-AIR. Fare subject to availability. Some restrictions apply. Visit capeair.com for details.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
Get ready, Decatur. Corks and Forks, the social event of the spring, returns Thursday, April 19th to the Decatur Conference Center. Enjoy samples of the very best entrees, appetizers, desserts, and more from the area's finest restaurants and caterers, paired with an extensive selection of wines from around the world. Music, games, raffles, a sizable silent auction, and a South American-themed VIP dining event are all on the menu. Get tickets and info at 423-3189 or at decaturarts.org.
Hi, this is Brady Streckfish from the Brass Horn. If you know me, you know that I love to wear men's and a main dress shirts. Thanks to the breathable microfiber stretch material in these American-made shirts, you'll never be more comfortable heading into work or out to dinner. Non-iron and machine washable, these shirts are super easy to take care of and always ready to wear. Come in today to try on a men's and a main dress shirt at the Brass Horn, located on Prairie Street in the heart of downtown Decatur, where you'll always find the right fit.
This is Byers & Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, City Hall insider Paul Osborne in the studios. All right, I read your column today. It's got to be frustrating. And by the way, this isn't just gratuitously knocking the United States Postal System. And we've got a great postal worker that comes here every day. The men and women that are out there that go and do this stuff. But as an organization, they've got to get their act together or they're not going to be around.
No, they're not. And someone's familiar with the postal system is, it's me. I mean, for 50 years, we used the USPS to deliver the Tribunes to mail subscribers. I will say, in Decatur, you know, they get delivered, and but when those bags go out of town to go to here, get this, go to Springfield to be delivered to Macon or other small towns, I don't know what they go to the moon. Our March 6th edition, we have people from Macon calling say we didn't receive it this week. They called yesterday, which was 13 days later, and they were getting the March 6th edition. Where they been for 13 days?
And we're not talking about going to, like, Hawaii. We're talking about, like, you know, 10 miles down the road.
I could crawl with the papers down there in less time. And fortunately, of all that we mail, thousands and thousands of them, you know, about all of them get to their destination and when they should. Decatur, people get them on Thursday. you know. But I don't understand, you know, every once in a while there's this hitch where a bag just doesn't get distributed, and sometimes it even ends up in St. Louis. You know, what's with that?
I don't know. I know it's frustrating for you because you care about those individual subscribers, and it's got to be frustrating knowing there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you prepay for this, you do this. I don't get why, when Amazon isn't happy with next day delivery, Amazon wants same day delivery, why the USPS thinks they're going to survive in that world doing less and less when it comes to customer service is just a mystery to me.
Well, and too, I've noticed a change even in first class mail. You know, we mail out renewal notices and that used to be an immediate response. And now it may be a week later before the response. So those aren't even, that's first class.
Yeah.
And the paper is the first class of all periodicals. That has a high ranking. And I will say, and I said in the column, the people here in Decatur have been great. I've always loved our postal people that deliver, the carriers deliver to our office. And out at the mound station, ladies who take care of that, make sure they're on the trucks and going.
Yeah.
But once they leave here, it's just like, what happens? They go in Springfield at that distribution center? Do they stay there for a few days? And I will say, everyone who called our office, and a lot of people did from Macon and some of these small towns, none of them blamed us because they said, we've experienced other problems, you know, with this. And you're right. They need to get their act together. I think the strange thing is when they're sending me news releases, finally stopped it from their home office, they faxed them to me. Why didn't they mail them to me? It's just like you're faxing me information about the post office. So I called and asked them.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want them anymore? I said, I'm just wondering why you're faxing. Why don't you mail me a letter?
Yeah. It's beyond understanding. It really is. And once again, I feel like you have to always make all of these statements. I'm not knocking postal delivery people.
Nope.
But that system, it loses tons of money every year. It makes really, really weird branding and marketing decisions. And with all of the stuff being delivered, they've got an advantage to be able to take it. And I just don't get it.
Well, where else are you going to go?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, well, I'll tell you where you're going to go to. You know, UPS, you're going to go to, you know, other places that are doing it better.
And the online edition. I mean, more and more people, you know, you get it instantly.
I would think that the postal system for an organization like yours or any others that they can count on every week to have thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of a parcel delivery to be paid for, they would put that at the highest priority.
Yeah, and
when people are mailing less and less and less.
Yeah, and that's if they're mailing less, it looks like you should be able to get it there sooner, you know, if you have less mail.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is they're cutting, you know, the old-timers, the retired, the people replacing them in many cases just do not have the knowledge or the training or even the same attitude. And it's too bad. And as you say, there are a lot of really great people that work for the Decatur Post Office. I've known them over the years, and they've been very conscientious. But some of the rules that come from above, from people that don't even know what they're doing, are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they're burdensome to the people who are mailing.
I wish you the best. It's got to be frustrating because I know you care
about
every one of those
time.
Individual people. All right, celebration. Without going into it, you know, I'm hoping for the best here. And I think over the next few days we'll have more to work with. But your just initial thoughts on, you know, the stuff that was leaked out there, the resignation of Lori. This war of egos, what do you think about all of it?
Well, it's too bad. And I've always felt that any event like this, you know, it's great for the community, and you need to put the community first and put the egos aside. I don't know everything that happened. You know, what I care about is that something that is good for the community continues. And it's a major event for this city. It's the event of the summer for this city, and it has been for 33 years, and I was there at the beginning. And I remember all the excitement that was created, Mayor Gary Anderson, the excitement he had, even invested his own money in it.
Right.
And so in case they had a shortfall. And over the years, there have been a lot of leaders and a lot of people have been committed to this. And I always enjoyed as mayor standing up there and starting the celebration. That was one of the big perks of being mayor, to do that. And you can tell by the crowds, it's evolved from what it was 33 years ago. And like I mentioned to you and in the paper, the entertainers I went to see, you know, were entertainers from my youth.
Yeah.
At the show. They're all dead now, or, you know, they can't sing anymore. And so there's new entertainment. Many of them I haven't heard of, but a lot of people have, and the crowds still come. And it's not an event based on the people I see. I like the food. I like everything else that's happening there. So there'd be a real void there, you know, if that was taken away. And I hope the act gets together, they get things organized, back off of the egos, from what I understand, and let's put Decatur first and say this is about the people of Decatur.
I think that there's plenty of folks out there that feel the same way that you do. And if the event dies under its own weight, meaning it just can't sustain itself any longer, that's one thing. If it dies because of a handful of people and just ridiculous behavior, then that's another thing.
Yeah, and they bear responsibility for that, of killing. If people, as you say, if it gets to be a lack of interest, that people just don't care anymore, but that's really not been demonstrated. I mean, you consider how long a lot of these festivals last, and it's not nearly as long, maybe half as long as this one. This is an old festival because there have been a lot of volunteers, a lot of community help, a lot of businesses, a lot of leaders invested in making this over the years.
And I think the pressure, the one thing I would add new to this conversation, the pressure by some to hire like a TI or a Nelly that you just can't afford. You can't afford the crowd that shows up. It's big. Doesn't spend a lot of money. I talked to some of the beer folks, on those nights where they have a big hip-hop concert, which is really popular. It's like a rain out as far as beer sales are. I mean, you got to have something that can make money. And people have, by and large, accepted the fence and the bracelets. I know some in the media want to just keep dragging that on, but listen, on a Saturday or Sunday night, there were just as many people down there as I've ever seen at the Cater Celebration. So people have obviously hurdled that. I mean, they've gotten over that. I think you spend a little less on the entertainment. You know, you can still get some really good acts. Maybe focus on some local people. I got a nice letter from, well, not nice. He was accusing my ego being the biggest of all in all this conversation. But he wasn't wrong in that there needs to be more vendors. There needs more stuff during the day. People like to used to come down and just people watch. And it was more about experience, not just a rock concert.
Yeah.
And I think maybe if they go back a little, I'm not saying you go back to the original, because people, if you had the original tomorrow, everybody go, what's up with this? Because people have this nostalgia that isn't accurate.
Yeah, that's right. And it has, even though I enjoyed in the early years, I knew all the entertainers and that, I never really went or enjoyed it because of the entertainment. I enjoyed it because of all the change in downtown and being able to walk on the street without being run over by a car, and the food and seeing people that you know. And there were just a lot of other roving characters.
But we've also... People have changed. The way we go to things have changed. Technology has changed. The way we consume things have changed. I mean, 34 years is a long time when the last 10 or 11 have changed completely the way we communicate as human beings.
Yeah.
People don't show up to things like they used to show up.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There are too many other things in their lives to keep them from making this the focus of their attention. So, you know, you can't have the way it was in year one. You know, that same excitement isn't there.
But that doesn't mean that you can't tinker with year 33 or 34 either. I mean, I think there's really good people that care about this that will come together, and hopefully we'll have a positive ending to this and a celebration this year. I don't know. There's an important meeting going on tonight, and we'll move from there. But I will tell you that if people truly want it to continue, it's going to take a lot of things. Some of these chairmen, and I think 99% of these people are acting in good faith. They've been, I think, hooked into this thing of, you know, hanging all the blame on one person. That person's gone now. Whether you were for that decision or not, that's done. So it's time now to put aside all that stuff. And if you really are doing it for the love of the event and, you know, having the event for the community, it's now time to step up and stop the complaining. But I also think that those folks weren't speaking for everybody. Certainly we're speaking for all the chairmen. We're speaking for all the volunteers. And if you let a handful of people just make this about ego run amok, then you might not have a celebration. And if you don't have it this year, you won't ever have it again, because it won't. There's no taking a year off and coming back.
No. If it dies for 1 year,
it's gone.
It's gone. It's gone forever. And I think also the important point you made here is that, well, our community evolves. We're not the same community that we were 50 years ago or even 33 years ago. And I think celebration, it evolves and develops and moves in a direction that's different than it was.
Well, and then look at Lindsay, what did you have in the park board meeting? They're coming in next, I guess. But how many season tickets they sell for the first day?
It's like 124 in the first day.
Season tickets for the amphitheater, like day one of selling season tickets. So people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
We have to be.
Yeah. Well, and I think you have to be aware, too, that there are other things happening in the community that weren't happening. And that's one reason.
No, 10 years ago, I couldn't say spend Saturday of the celebration binging, you know, yeah. Netflix and watching. I mean, your entertainment venues have multiplied by 1,000 of what you're able to consume your time with.
Yeah, that's right. And so the Decatur celebration has to be an attraction for today.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be an attraction for 33 years ago. And everything else has changed. It has to change, too.
But Scott's email's right. There has been something in a focus of just trying to get the biggest name you can get, there has been maybe a little lost of just sort of the experience of coming down here. And I don't know if that's something that can be recaptured or not. I know Fred didn't want local bands. I thought one of the best things they did last year at the Decatur Celebration was right outside of here. They had this battle of the bands going on with all sorts of Central Illinois bands. It was fun, right? They're a lot more affordable. You don't have to spend all of the money on some of this stuff that, quite frankly, I think people will come for the experience. You need some big acts. I'm not saying get rid of those, but I think there's ways they can hyper-focus things and make more money and make this thing profitable.
Well, some of the smaller stages, to me, even years ago, were the most exciting. I don't know if you remember the Blenders,
yeah.
Four college guys.
Or that Christian stage over there just brings huge crowds.
Yeah, that Blenders, I mean, I don't think he paid them much, you know, and they performed later at Milliken, I think, because people liked him. I went to their shows like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
You know, I'd never heard of him before that. And I think that's what people kind of, at least me, you kind of look at those things that you kind of surprise you and say, boy, they're really good.
And somebody reminded me of this, and I had forgotten, but Fred used to say, and this is a thought to consider here, folks, no matter how much money you pay for that act on that stage on Saturday, Sunday, Friday, there's only so many people you can fit on that main street. And that crowd's going to show up whether that band costs $50,000 or $100,000. The difference is you don't have the affordability to have a $100,000 band there. So if the same amount of people, or basically the same amount of people, will show up for a band that costs half that much, why would you do the other?
Yeah.
And I get the side of go home, big or go home kind of thing, but this isn't Woodstock. This isn't Lollapalooza. This isn't South by Southwest. It's the Decatur Celebration. And so I would hope that maybe you find stuff that will draw people. Great. No problem at all. But you can't spend more than you have.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's the important thing. I think you need to recapture that spirit that got people excited. You need to evolve and change, but it's still the uniqueness of the celebration. And, and that's not in drawing the biggest name that you can get for the most money. And I think that's the area that I
feel good. I don't know. I feel good. I believe that this will end up okay. I mean, that's my feeling going in at 7:57 on this Thursday morning. That's not a guarantee of any kind. I feel like there's enough people that want to do this for the right reason that will come forward and make it happen. I really do believe that today.
Well, something like this brings out the best in Decatur. And you've always counted on Decatur. There are people that will step up and say, yes, this is good for our city, and I support it. And I would expect that to happen with this. I'd be disappointed if it didn't.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we'll keep you posted. There's conversations going on. And I would just encourage, particularly, you know, anybody that even signed some of these letters, you know, how much do you want? I mean, do you want it so bad that you want it to go away, or do you want to make it right? And everybody can be the good guy now if you just step up and do it for the right reason.
Oh, don't spend yourself out of existence.
Listen, board's got responsibilities in this. Chairman have responsibilities in this. Past people have responsibility. The community has responsibility in this. And at the end of the day, I believe in this community.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think we got naysayers, and I think we have people that like to just sort of make everything negative, but I think that they are a very loud, vocal minority as opposed to the number of people out there that are willing to step up time and time again with their money, their checkbooks, their volunteer time, their time to treasure, their talent. And I've seen it too many times in my life to not believe in it. So I'm keeping my faith there, and we'll keep you posted. Paul, great stuff.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Well, you know, I hope they don't give you too much grief over at the post office. Get this paper to his people.
Hey, if no one gets the paper next week, you know what happens.
Right. Paul Osborne, City Hall insider, former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Decatur Tribune, which you can visit online at decaturtribune.com. We've got our park board candidates coming in with us next. We'll get an update from their meeting yesterday and countdown to opening day with Heinkel. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now.
A coroner's jury has officially ruled the death of 2-year-old Tania Barnes a homicide. Cause of death was cold exposure resulting from environmental neglect with contributing factors of dehydration and malnourishment due to neglect. Anthony Meyer, the live-in boyfriend of the child's mother, also appeared in court yesterday and pled not guilty to Barnes' death. Tawanka Davis, the child's mother, has also pled not guilty.
Parents grieving the loss of an infant will find some comfort thanks to a donation to HSHS St. Mary's Hospital.